The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and also with you. Good morning and welcome to St. Stephen's United Church. We would like to welcome each and every one of you who are here today, and please know that no matter where you are on your journey, you are welcome here today. We begin this morning, as we always do, by lighting the Christ candle. It is a reminder that the light of Christ burns within us. Christ calls us to make that light manifest and known to the world. The light of Christ. Today we're honored to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honor their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. The Sunday closest to September 30th, before September 30th, is the Sunday on which we are encouraged to wear something orange. Why orange? Phyllis Jack Webstad is the Northern Septuagint author, activist, and founder of the Ambassador of the Orange Shirt Society. She is a member of the Setsquiam Gatiam First Nation who went to St. Joseph Mission Residential School. On her first day of school, Phyllis wore an orange shirt that her grandmother had given her. It was immediately taken away, and that marked the beginning of her long separation from her family and community, a separation caused by actions of the church and federal government. Orange Shirt Day is a time for us all to remember those events and their ongoing impact. Today we wear orange to remember and honor all the Indigenous children who went to residential schools. Today we wear orange and we pray for the residential school and intergenerational survivors who are still struggling. Today we wear orange and we're thankful for those who speak the truth and who work to shine a light on injustice. Today we light a candle and we wear orange in the name of compassion and the spirit of truth and reconciliation. Help us, God, to remember and act on this every day. Amen.
Good morning, friends. Please join me in the call to worship. We have gathered to worship God. We have come seeking comfort, inspiration, community, and insight. We have come to open ourselves to the power of God's presence in our midst. We have come to offer up the seasons and the turnings in our lives and to ask God's help in our learning and in our growing. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. With love, God sees our true hearts and longs to help us grow into lives of greater compassion. Will you pray with me the prayer of confession? Forgive us, Father, for our desire to look more righteous than we are. We learn so easily how to act as Christians, and we find ourselves acting instead of living. Cleanse us of our false piety and fill us with your Spirit to live genuine lives of love, justice, and grace. Amen.
Let us hear these words of grace. On mountaintops and in valleys, in our homes and in our hearts, God knows us better than we know ourselves, and God forgives us when we cannot forgive ourselves. By God's mercy, we are forgiven. By God's mercy, we are made whole. By God's mercy, we are equipped to serve others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44, the English Standard Version. And in his teachings he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, and all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The last time I was with you, which was a couple of weeks ago, I spoke of being drawn to St. Stephen's after reading a couple of our core values, specifically love of neighbor and diversity in worship. This week, let's shine our light on our mission statement. It reads as follows. The mission of St. Stephen's United Church is to follow Jesus Christ. Okay, you say, but how are we to do this? And more importantly, how do we know that we are? Barbara Brown Taylor is my favorite theologian. She's a former Episcopalian priest, and she suggests there are three clues to follow when we are seeking or when we are finding Jesus. There will be one or more of the following. There will be attention to the marginalized, a focus on justice and compassion, a radical trust in God's action even when unclear. So let's keep those clues in mind as we work through today's scripture reading, a reading that points us directly towards Jesus. A widow attends the synagogue and adds her 2 copper coins to the temple treasury, and her copper mixes with the silver coins of the wealthy like oil to water. Her small amount barely causes a ripple as it mixes with the large donations of the others. Yet it's her contribution that Jesus notices and wants us to pay attention to as he calls his disciples, saying, "This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything in, all she had to live on." The theologians, those who study the Bible, have generally painted the widow as either a victim or a saint. But why did she only have 2 cents to her name? Well, in those days, women could not be trusted to manage their deceased husband's affairs, so the scribes took over. As compensation, they would get a percentage of the assets, and this was open to abuse. Even though the religious law was to protect widows and orphans, this group of religious lawyers took their money and became very rich in the process, defending their actions by saying that the temple needed the money to ensure the laws of God would be obeyed. God's laws were being interpreted in a way that victimized those that the laws were designed to protect. The actions of the widow were the actions of a victim. That's one take. A second take would be that the widow was a saint. The widow was able to let everything go, and she viewed putting in everything she had not as a sacrifice, but rather a total commitment to what she believed in and not needing or wanting to make a fuss about. What a saint! And we might assume that the Bible tells us that we should go and do likewise in terms of a total commitment, but Jesus doesn't say that here. He does when talking about the Good Samaritan. So we know Jesus used those words as part of his teaching ministry, but not in this story. Let's hear Jesus' words to the disciples again, and this time spoken with a tone of sadness. "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. She put in everything she had to live on." Words of lament which follow these words for the church from the scribes. And Jesus says, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers." Words of lament for what, you say? Listen to this story of the widow's mite, 1996 version. Peachland, British Columbia, my first pastoral charge. Her name was Miriam with a Y. Dick was her husband, and they were longtime members of that Peachland United Church. They were veterans of the war, supporters of the Legion. Miriam carried the flag on Remembrance Day parades, and they both scolded the church council for suggesting the plaques remembering the war dead didn't need to be in the sanctuary area. The gathering area at the back would be more appropriate, according to the council. The council listened to Miriam, though, and the plaque stayed in the sanctuary. The statistics prevailed, and Dick died before Miriam. We had the funeral, Miriam surrounded by community, friends, and family. She went away for a few weeks, so we didn't miss her. I didn't miss her. But after a couple of weeks, I phoned, and sure enough, she was home. I stopped over to the trailer park where she invited me in, and I said, "We've missed you, Miriam." And she said, "Oh, I've been back for a couple of weeks. I haven't been to church, though." Do you need a ride? I asked. She said, no, I just can't come yet. Oh, I asked, believing she couldn't simply be to be there without Dick. With a tear in her eye, she said, I don't have any money to put in the offering plate. Their finances were meager to start with, and the expense of the funeral, the delay in getting pensions transferred over, didn't allow her to make her usual donation to the church. And without that donation, she felt she couldn't attend worship. We talked about finances and developed a plan for the basics to be covered, but still in her mind, she felt she wouldn't have enough to donate to the church, so wouldn't be attending. As a new minister, I had a Bible with me, and I knew what the scripture reading was for the week. I opened the Bible and began to read that passage from Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to them, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. Miriam was in church that next week. And later during coffee, one of the money counters called me into the office with a quizzical look on her eye, and she handed me an offering envelope she had just opened. Inside were two copper pennies. I can find both the saint and the victim in Jesus' story of the widow and in my remembering Miriam. Both gave more than they could afford, as widows both became vulnerable socially and economically. Both deserving of Jesus' words of lament. Both felt that they could not attend worship without an offering to God, without offering a support to the church sworn to protect them. In our scripture reading, the presence of one destitute widow might even question the reason for the temple's existence and could cause us to ask, when does a temple of God hit rock bottom and lose its reason to exist? Scripture points us towards Jesus, and the clues for seeking and finding Jesus are all over this scripture reading and the story of Miriam. There's an attention to the marginalized. It's not God's intention that God's wealthiest people should have preferential seating in our temples. There's a focus on justice, a focus on compassion. It's not God's intention that in order to worship here, you must have funds for an offering. It is God's intention that we be a community that cares for our widows and our orphans. A community that does not differentiate between the wealthy and the poor. And the gospel reading today is a little bit about giving till it hurts. And it also tells us a lot about God's love for the vulnerable. Love expressed in the lament of Jesus for the lack of love shown the widows of his time. It is God's intention that we be faithful to our calling as a church community that cares for the vulnerable. And that we do so remembering that God is always faithful to us, whether we're giving out of our wealth or whether we're giving out of our poverty. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Loving God, this is the beginning of autumn, that time of shorter light, gradual cooler temperatures, and brilliant hues in the falling leaves, and end-of-season flowers. Help each of us to embrace this season with gratitude for our beginning harvest of food, grains, and wool. We are thankful to you for what we receive and for what we are able to share with others. We are grateful as well for the ability to share laughter, wonder, and humor, as well as kindness and compassion, to those folk who are struggling with physical and cognitive issues. May your blessings of new hope and peace be given to all folk who are struggling with afflictions of cancer, heart conditions, and such emotions as despair, fear, anger, resentment. We pray that your stabilizing influence is given to all leadership in the world, and that those leaders who are leading with power and greed be rendered useless. May goodness become paramount in all world leaders. We pray that all leadership in all churches be tuned into the awareness of your presence in all decision-making, that those decisions be filled first of all with your grace. We pray also that any challenges that young families are experiencing, particularly as it relates to school, be given the help they need to resolve issues. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We're so grateful for the many ways in which you contribute to Jesus' work at St. Stephen's. Let us commit these gifts to God as we say the offertory prayer. O God, we present these gifts as a sign of our determination to reach out to help meet the needs of others in our community and around the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
As you leave this place, may you be awestruck by the beauty of this world. May you laugh and may it be contagious. May you overflow with love for those around you. May you be effusive with hope and quick to point out joy. And in all your living and breathing and being, may you find yourself full to the brim with God's Holy Spirit. And may it change your life. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go in peace, full to the brim. You are called, you are loved, You are enough. Amen.